friends, and welcome to another issue of Pornographic. This is going to be 37. I'm Brian Mann.
I'm Brian Mitchell.
I'm Eric Mitchell.
Mike Rojas.
Rojas. I'm going to need you to roll your R's, sir.
I'm bringing the sexy to the podcast, but nobody can see us, so it's kind of odd.
For a second there, I was going to bring up the sink thing. We're just going to roll that past it. Yeah, we're going to sink it like a putt if it's from the rough. Anyway.
So our podcast is broken into four parts. Our compare, where it's books that all of us or most of us read. The share, where just one of us reads it and we want to share it with the group. The dare, where we dare another podcast member to read a book they wouldn't usually read. And the impaired, because, yeah, we drink beer while we're recording this podcast. So by beer. The impaired stage, we are usually pretty impaired.
Usually.
And speaking of the beer, our first one of the evening is Dogfish Head, the Perfect Disguise Double IPA.
So I saw this at Constantino's, the place where I get most of my beer, and I have to say, the bottle art on this is one of the most ridiculous I've ever seen.
Yeah, I dig it.
It's like awesome. A bear with his head opened up, and there's like a little alien inside of it. Because I think it's a honey beer as well. Like, it's got honey in it or something.
Let's see if it...
I don't know. They usually do pretty crazy stuff.
All it says on the side is just a double dry hopped...
No, it's like a lumberjack. Paleo.
Yeah, it's a lumberjack. Yeah.
Oh.
Holding beer and...
Well, it looked like an alien.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, there's an alien inside a lumberjack, not a bear.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
Just got to think.
Maybe it's piney.
Maybe it's a panda.
Like a trash panda? Anyway.
Coming soon.
Trash Panda, which is a raccoon, by the way, in case anybody wants to know.
Smells citrusy.
It's not a trashy panda. It's a raccoon. The price.
Oh, that is...
Finale. Oh, I'm sorry. We weren't doing comics
yet. Yeah, we can, but that's just pretty yummy.
Well, it smells piney and smells delicious.
It's pretty good. Woo! Well, I just wrote, well, damn. That's a great story.
Like Van Damme?
No break to it.
Oh, okay.
Very well written, drawn well. The splash where Flash is about to punch Batman is fantastic. Really enjoyed this crossover, and that it tied in so well with the Heroes in Crisis.
Overall, I think the two Flash issues were better than the two Batman issues.
I wholeheartedly agree.
Which is crazy to think.
It's crazy to say out loud. I mean, but thinking it's somewhat blasphemous.
But
since Eric didn't get it, I wanted him to look at that first page. I thought his perspective as he's running was really cool.
Yeah. I really liked everything about this. I like the fact that it ties into Heroes in Crisis.
I mean, this almost would make me start reading Flash again.
But you know it's not going to be like this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, so.
I think, like, right before this, he had the Force Quest, and it was cool because, like, it kind of seemed to bring out some of his insecurities. So as these other forces were becoming more prevalent, he went on the Force Quest to find out more about them, trying to learn more about the Speed Force.
We can't forget to mention how Iris West comes up and slaps Batman across the
face. Oh, yeah. And Batman does nothing.
It's as hard as she can. Just.
And the Flash issue before, he was telling Flash, hey, you know, you're lucky to have her. And he kind of cut him off because he's like, oh, fuck
that's
Batman.
That's a great panel.
Yeah. It's just.
Yeah. It's
the good art's view. Good. The story's good. And just the tie-in where...
This
shows
good.
The superhero right community.
Here. This right here. Because isn't that the screen he has at Sanctuary?
It sure looks that way. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's...
So since you're flipping
because
through...
Because I'm pretty sure that final is not Mitch Gerard's...
Because I think...
Because the main story is Joshua Williamson and somebody else, but I'm pretty sure that very last page, the epilogue, is the prologue and the epilogue is Or at least it feels like it is.
Yeah, it must feel like it because it isn't.
It feels like they're directly from Heroes in Crisis.
But again, it ties into the Heroes in Crisis. It makes it feel like it's a global event.
You know, because there's continuity in the crossover.
Yeah. I mean, it's really well done. It doesn't feel like a money grab. It just feels like more backstory.
Hey, this is a story that we can't tell in Heroes in Crisis, but we want to tell, and so we're going to tell it in Batman and in Flash.
And these folks are really suffering. I mean, Batman and Flash are kind of at each other's throats.
Wally West is, or Barry is distraught.
Well, they both are. I mean, Batman more inner, but...
Right, yeah. But I mean, visibly distraught.
When Flash was reading Iris's her letter about the obituary, there's this part that really stuck with me. And since Eric didn't read the comic, I feel like Eric should read... read this part.
Dude, he is shitting on you.
Pile on Eric.
He is shitting on you for not reading the comic.
I've said it before. I have read Flash for like 50 issues.
No, these are the two that you should have picked up.
Yeah, these look good. Okay, so I'm reading. He put his life on the line every day to make the world a better place. He felt if he wore a bright red and yellow costume and a smile, he'd help people keep up hope during trying times. He took on the hardest parts of life so others wouldn't have to. But then I realized something, Barry. What I wasn't writing Wally's obituary, I was writing yours.
That's some pretty poignant stuff.
That's powerful.
That's in a comic book.
I was not the notebook. Comic book.
You understand? You're like, are you picking up the Flash? I'm like, okay, I will.
Yeah.
It didn't take much push, but I wasn't necessarily going to go seek it out. But man, am I glad I did, because. Oh, yeah. It's a very good crossover.
And if DC can pull off more crossovers like this, I'm down for them.
Yeah, I mean, heck, if there's a Wonder Woman or a Superman.
Well, that's the difference. It's not a crossover leading into like 18 different comics. It's just a quick tie-in between two books.
I think one of the problems Marvel has, and we'll touch on this a little bit later, is Your new crossover books, they're just a setup and advertisement for your stupid crossover four book. It's like,
and as good as Marvel Knights kind of was, it felt like this is a setup to reintroduce these characters.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't like what was the one that we got tricked into?
Hunt for Wolverine, the Wolverine, the Wolverine might be here.
The one it was like.
Sorry, there were several.
It was one.
Wait, Wolverine's not here. You bought 4 inches. Not that one.
It was something like that, and then it was like it split into like Claws of a Killer. And,
that was
the first book was nothing.
Adamantium Agenda
was nothing but setting up those four books, and it's like, what is the fucking purpose of this? This has a purpose. This has a place. This actually achieves a goal, and the goal is to not make you buy a bunch of books.
It didn't necessarily further the story, but it felt like it colored the background. It gave you some backstory and let you know where those heroes are at.
Exactly.
So for me, since I don't think I've ever read Flash up until this, but the reason why I started picking it up was because of the TV show. So I don't know if these were prevalent, like these powers were prevalent in the old comic books or not, but when he did the Speed Force Lightning as an AED to shock Gotham Girl, it's like an attack in a TV show. So since the TV show got me into the comic, I think it's cool when that same power is used in both. Like when Kid Flash in Young Justice was phasing and wasn't able to be hit because they do that in a TV show also.
Yeah, it feels like continuity between the comic and the TV show, which I'm a big fan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Next is Heroes in Crisis number 6. So
yeah, I don't have a whole lot of notes. My very first one is Harley Bai.
First off, I don't have. Well, what?
Yes.
I think Harley's crazy. And
I think Harley's pansexual.
Yeah.
I have so many questions.
Does one of them start with Gnark?
One of them starts with, so is it all fake? Is it all a simulation? Is everything that we've seen up until this point fake completely?
I didn't even think about that.
Is the original murder that we see completely fake? Is that just part of Harley's projection?
Wally is quote-unquote back?
Yeah. I mean, is it all just a fucking fake?
It could be, but I didn't grab that. I was too busy worried about dude can't string together a coherent sentence.
Yeah, who is that?
And, well, I can answer that question because I researched it, and then suddenly he's quoting Keats. he was croaked out at some point, a member of the Teen Titans, first appearance, Teen Titans number 32.
Wow. Okay.
And now you know.
Mystery solved.
So he was a caveman that got frozen?
Yeah, and got a crystal implanted in his chest that gave him superpowers. And when he croaked out, they autopsied him and the crystal had no powers.
Huh. Okay.
Yes. But Tom King is not afraid to reach down into the depths of the DCU.
Bro, if you can make Kite Man.
Yep.
I mean,
when this was first originally announced, how many issues was it?
7 plus 2 extra backstory issues that were not supposed to be. They're supposed to be Heroes in Crisis tie-ins. And then it was changed to 9 issues.
I feel like this was one of the tie-ins. Like, I wasn't impressed with this issue, really, all that much. Like, I don't think we learned very much at all.
Well, I learned a bunch of stuff, but none of it
relevant.
None of it gives me any more grasp on the mystery.
Looked great. These always, every issue has looked awesome. This is the money grab that you guys are just talking about. Let's try to make it just a little bit longer
so we
can get just a little bit more money out of it.
When Brian Mann brought up simulations, that makes a little bit more sense, if it's right to me, because I have...
Which I have no idea if it is right or not.
I have Booster did it with a question mark, and then I wrote, but there's still 2 more issues. Oh. In a previous issue, it looked like Harley did it. But if they're all simulations, it would make sense
why there's
multiple people who
I think it's Batman running simulations for the end of the world. And he's trying to figure out who can help him stop the end of the world.
So how do we explain away the Superman talking to the people of Earth and explaining...
Oh, yeah, the press conference.
What's going on at Sanctuary?
That might be the air flowing out of that balloon.
Okay.
No, it's just
I think the parts that you see at Sanctuary are real. So, like, in the house, outside of the house, but if it's... The thing is it's going to be very hard to tell when someone's in one of these programs or whatever and not. And I think that's the holdup with, like... Because,
like, maybe something did happen, which is why Superman addressed the public. But
okay,
all these different stories we're seeing may be simulations.
So, the things that stuck out to me, the art, number one, because you've got Mitch and you've got Clayman, and I really noticed the light, how they do the coloring. Yeah. And anyway, I always get caught up in the art. But... So red herrings just keep getting thrown out. So Wally West.
Yes.
He goes up to Arsenal. I didn't want to be alone. And, you know, Arsenal's dying in his arms. Then him holding a dying, however you, Gnark. and then he says to Arsenal, why did it, ... So did Sanctuary do it? Yeah, then he gets zapped by something, and then the next panel is Booster all powered up with his fist up going, huh? And then Harley opens the door. So, again, you've still got, is it Sanctuary killing everybody off? Is it Booster killing everybody off? Is it Harley killing everybody off? We get no further solving the mystery, and there's only three issues left, but I've got a hard time being mad at it.
Okay, yeah, and what the fuck was with the Joker randomly showing up? Like, that's
well, that was, that was a simulation.
That definitely was a simulation.
See,
how Harley was just beating the crap out of the Joker to
and then there's help a big heal. Pile of Joker bodies.
Yeah.
That's a great panel.
I don't, we're no further to solving the mystery.
Sure.
They just keep throwing more questions out.
But isn't that how Identity Crisis went? And all those other crisis books?
Yeah, I'm down with it as long as we get to an ending and I'm like, oh man, I should have got that. I should have pieced that together with my Batman detective skills. I mean, to your point, Eric, yeah, it's kind of a fluff issue. But all of them have been kind of fluff issues. To this point, we haven't learned. I mean, there's been great moments in them.
Yeah.
But we've not learned anything yet that's like
solid.
There's the trail I'm following. Yeah. It's just I'm going to keep throwing more leads out.
But I think that's the point also.
Yeah. I'm still down for the ride. Just as a sidebar, pull up this tweet real quick. Probably should have already had that pulled up.
I was just getting ready to say that.
Yeah.
So the tweet is a Tom King tweet, I assume?
Yes.
Okay. And it's about Heroes in Crisis?
Well, it's about art itself.
About the art itself or just art in general?
Art in general.
I see.
I hear a lot about what artists contribute to comics. All the years and training and toil. What I don't hear about enough is the delicate genius it takes to master the art of the word and deliver a comic script that Shakespeareanly delivers the transcendence of sequential poetry. And then there's a picture of page 7, panel 1. Ninjas jump at Batman. No dialogue. Panel 2, Batman fights ninjas. No dialogue. And then it's some really awesome ninjas fighting Batman. And that's what I love about the art in the books is it's that fusion between the written word and the art medium that really makes comics what they are. I just thought it was pretty cool that he's given props out to, you know, Clay Mann, Mitch Gerard, as some of his collaborators. Anybody. And yeah.
Moving on. Detective 999.
Oh, should I pick this one up?
Hello, Eric.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Have you ever heard that saying,
fool me once? Just
jump the shark.
I have.
Okay. Because I feel like this is the one that...
It wasn't the last one?
Maybe it was the last one, and then it leads into this one.
So did he jump on the shark in the last one, and now he's riding it?
Well, he used his shark repellent on one of them.
So...
Explain
it's in the spoiler belt.
Explain to the folks what happens.
So since 993 or 994, somewhere in there,
yes.
We've been hunting this this villain that's bringing back all the painful memories of Bruce's life. This villain is going after everyone that's important to Bruce, anyone who had anything to do with his training. So that's why we had the original Mr. Miracle was in there. And, you know, they've gone after Alfred and the Leslie Tompkins lady that worked at the whatever it is, health.
Some sort of bioscience, whatever.
So... You know, and you know, we've not been able to figure out who this villain is. 998, we think it's Hugo Strange. You know, doesn't turn out to be Hugo Strange. So it's all been a training sequence that Batman does to himself every birthday.
R- racing out to buy this issue.
Well, so I wrote, what a Batman thing to do, to torture yourself on your birthday so that you know that you're Batman again.
Yeah, he fights himself.
Literally.
As a little kid.
Yeah. For about...
So...
Why? I feel like you're making a joke out of that. I took this all so seriously, and you're like, you're joking about it.
Little Batman fighting Big Batman.
I mean, when you put it like that, dude, it sounds fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, and there's
here's
Batman fighting by Batman when he first started off there, year one.
Yeah, and, year one, Frank Miller. Yeah, I see that.
They go to the grave together. And
oh my god, dude, come on!
Bruce buries the little Batman. Says goodbye.
Man, can I not wait for issue 1000
to him?
Speaking of which, did it I love Kevin Smith.
So then he skips over half of the ending.
I love Kevin Smith a little less after Hit Girl. But did you notice on the advertisements
for that? Yeah, he's got a story in there.
No, but he's number one. He on the list, it's not like and Kevin Smith. He leads the list, and I'm like, you're the dude who made Batman pee in the bat suit. Apparently everyone's forgot that.
He had a heart attack, man. Everybody's forgotten a lot of things. Apparently we're just going to move right past the ending of that book.
I thought it was. I mean, Big Batman burying Little Batman?
No, that was the end of the simulation.
Find out that it was all a birthday present to himself. Tortured himself for a little while and... I just thought it was much cooler when I thought there was going to be some
actual
big
villain?
Bad at the end that had been effing with him the entire time, and then it was just himself that was
effed with.
I'm going to eff myself.
The only part about it was good. I did enjoy the end where he goes and takes, you know, because the Leslie Tompkins lady dies back in one of the first couple of issues of this arc, and she was kind of an important part of his life and stuff, so that you know you really think that bothered him.
So what,
and there at the end you do see him go and take her out to dinner
what did she do?
She just runs some kind of medical facility that he uses a lot,
because in Gotham the TV show he's romantically with a Lee Tompkins that's like a doctor.
Batman is
Bruce
Wayne. Gordon.
Gordon is.
Gordon.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe
who's the hot chick from
Deadpool?
Deadpool and Firefly.
Cool.
Marina. Why are you looking at me crazy?
This Deadpool's chick in the movie. In the
Marina Bakarin?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Yeah, she's Lee Tompkins in Gotham TV show.
Oh, I thought it was that hot blonde chick that he was doing in the beginning.
Oh yeah, she went a little cray cray.
Isn't she a bad person?
I mean, depends on your worldview, but possibly.
Would Jim Gordon think she's a bad person?
So it depends on if she brings her girlfriend along.
Okay, Jim. I get you, man. Two's better than one. You were saying?
Well, yeah. No, I was done saying.
All right. 1,000. Daredevil number 2.
I am extremely upset that I did not find this, because after you guys talked about one, I went out and got it and read it, and then I specifically looked for it. It's Friday when I went to the comic book store, didn't see it, so I didn't think it was out yet.
Daredevil's framed for a murder he didn't commit.
I love this.
He thinks he didn't commit.
I think it's all a ploy. And that the cop who... I'll just stop. So I don't know if we want to spoil that or not. At the end, it gets...
Don't not spoil it for me, because I'm sure I'll forget by the time I find it.
So at the end of the issue, he gets shot.
Right.
And it's like, got to call it in. I think that's all.
You think the cop did it?
No. I think the cop and Daredevil are in on it to stop Kingpin.
But Kingpin, no, because Kingpin, he sat outside the office and he's like, I didn't hear a heartbeat. I didn't hear anything that betrayed it. I mean, I don't think Kingpin's behind it. It's somebody else.
But it'll be very interesting to see who that would be.
But it's good. I mean, yeah, I'm really excited. Daredevil's one of my favorite Marvel characters.
Yeah.
And this is good stuff. I'm hoping we're setting up for a really good Daredevil run.
Yeah. And I think we are. I mean,
what happens, though, if he really
did slip and...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I...
But I think the whole issue was all about I know how to inflict pain and, you know, disable people without... And, you know... the doctor he talked to, you know, I've treated many of your patients and, you know, it's always almost surgical precision where you're fighting them. Yeah, and
you should have been a doctor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm excited to see where kind of the mystery is. And
it's a good start. Yeah, to it.
I'm way on board.
Okay. Yes, I thought it was great. Moving on to Oliver number two. Okay. All right. So we have to talk about one very specific thing, which is they finally got the Charles Dickens reference in there. Okay. Because the whole first issue, I was like, all right, where's the, please, sir, may I have some more? You know, and I was like, all right. And two, we finally get it. Finally get it. So, last issue, you had did the dare, and you had read number one, and you were asking all these questions, and you had brought up aging and stuff.
Mike actually brought up aging.
That's why I pointed at Mike when I said it. Anyway.
I was looking down.
It's pretty clear that this kid has been lied to, told the fibs.
Or maybe not lied to so much as just the truth withheld, which I understand is a lie of omission.
But, yeah.
But he's also kind of a badass.
Yeah, yeah. He can hurt some people rather quickly.
And he doesn't understand kind of the totalitarian society with which he's forced upon. And doesn't adhere to the rules per se, where everybody else is like, no, put your head down, just move along.
Well, and I kind of think that's how the actual Oliver Twist story goes, is, you know, he's a orphan kid in the system, and he's like, if I want some more food, well, I'll just go ask for it. So the same kind of thing, the same kind of mentality of if I want to leave this place, screw you, I'm just going to do it. You can't hold me down. You can't hold me away from all this stuff. I don't care who I am. I don't care who you think I am. I'm just going to do whatever I want. Well, it's not going to work out very well for him probably, but.
Yeah, I dig the guards are very kind of. Felt Pink Floyd inspired with the gas masks.
Yeah,
and I feel like it's probably more of a Nazi overtone.
That's what I got out of it too. But
it's a little like Saga, where you've got two different, what do you want to call them, species?
Factions is what I was.
One's a test clone, and one's, you know, a real human.
I mean, they were grown to fight the war.
Yeah. And so Oliver's got all the attributes from both parents that make him kind of a super badass.
And grow very fast.
Yeah. it's a super good read.
Yeah, I like it so far a lot.
The thing that's still messing me up, when I read the first one, when she was walking up with a gas mask and a big suit, she's huddled over. And the whole time, I never knew that she was pregnant. And so I've been in, like, suits like that before, and I think, okay, this chick is not fucking cold because you can just stand there and be sweating.
Yeah.
And then I find out she's huddled over because she's about to give birth.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really good comic, and looking forward to more issues of it, definitely. Yeah.
Super glad I picked it up.
Yep. Martian Manhunter number 3.
Un momento.
Oh, yeah, we can move on to the next beer of the evening. It is from Lost 40 Brewing, Little Rock, Arkansas. We had the Raspberry Goza last issue.
The raspberry is so bad to say it the right way.
And this time, though, instead of a Goza, we have the Trash Panda IPA, a tropical and juicy, fruity IPA. 7.2. That's
a big beer. Pretty, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I only hope it's as good as the name.
Me too.
Are we to the
Martian Manhunter?
So, man, I really want to like this book. The backstory was nice. The writing and the character development is really good. The art, though it worked for Deathbed, seems too campy for one of DCU's most powerful heroes. I mean, could you imagine Lois Lane drawn like John's partner? I mean, just envision the bouffant hairdo on Lois Lane. Are you going to take that character seriously? I just imagine this dialogue with Alex Ross art, and then, man, I am on board. I may give it another issue before I totally pass judgment, but I just think it's a strange choice.
I'm kind of there with you. I was the first couple of issues, I thought, okay, I can make it through this with even with the weird art, and then I don't know. Like I liked his the story of how he became who he
John
is.
Jones,
right? But then I don't know. Then we get to that last panel, and I'm not sure if that's gonna make for a good story coming up or not. This weird.
I don't know.
Demon-looking
thing. Brian, this is one of your characters, one of your dudes.
So, I love the origin story of when he comes to Earth for the very first time, and you know, he's trying to figure out how to communicate with that guy in the lab, and then
he gives him a heart attack.
Yes, yeah, and then I think he saves him, doesn't he, or tries to save him?
No, he fails? Just sits there and watches him die.
Oh, well. Or it's John Jones he tries to save but can't, right?
In some origin of his, does he take over that doctor for a while?
I don't really know that much. And that's what I'm saying. We get an origin story, quote unquote, of why he looks the way he does, and I really liked it. But I am also confused by the end panel. I don't really know what the shit's going on.
This girl that's been kidnapped and being kind of tortured.
That's the case they're working on.
Yeah,
the two.
Yeah, they're trying to find her, but the bubble thing over her head, and then the weird.
He's putting some kind of gas in there.
I don't fully. That's going to need to be explained rather quickly and in a really nice way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is just a 12 issue series too. Yeah. I didn't even realize that. Okay,
I do think it's kind of funny that they actually took a quote from Ryan Stegman, who's the artist on Venom.
Yeah.
That's whose quote is on the front of the book. So you take a Marvel artist and put his quotes.
Who has better art than the person drawing?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I wish you had.
Yeah, can you get Ryan
Venom
Stegman?
Number 11 with us? Because, man, there was some really good art in there.
Yeah.
And again, I dug the art in Deathbed because it made sense.
Yeah, but that also had statues of Luna's, you know, entire naked body in it on a moon planet thingy.
Feel like that's a weird place for you to go, but
hey man, you got to lean into the ridiculous.
Yeah. But I think ridiculous is not the way to have told this story. This would be a way better story with that Alex Ross art. Yeah.
Or Jim Lee. Or somebody else.
Yeah, but I think Alex Ross leans into more of the 50s, 30s, 40s, 50s kind of.
Sure.
And that's where I see John Jones's origin kind of, but kind of a film noir sort of.
True Detective, the Martian Manhunter story.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But yeah, it is a 12.
This is 3 of 12. So
this is the Trash Panda.
Yeah, this is the Trash Panda. It smells absolutely delicious.
It's kind of like a big old glass of OJ with a hop sting at the end.
I don't really get the orange. I get citrusy. I get citrusy, but I don't get orange specifically.
I can kind of see it.
I get more grapefruit.
Grapefruit at the end. Orange, orange forward, grapefruit at the end. Yeah.
I think it's more mango or something.
And maybe that's right in the middle. Yeah, it's pretty yummy.
Our final compare is Bon Appétit number 7.
So I think Cullen Bunn is good at telling a story and drawing that story out, keeping you interested, even if the story doesn't go anywhere real fast. It's almost a novelist approach to writing a comic.
So I wrote, it's a good issue, but there's not much to report here.
Yeah. I feel like it's a backhanded compliment to say, you know, it's a novelist approach. But yeah, not a whole bunch happens. And that's kind of the way I felt about Dark Ark. It was still enjoyable to read, mm-hmm. but after 14 issues of Dark Ark, I'm like, I need stuff does happen, but not to the point where I feel like I'm wrapping up a story that I'm still on board.
I'm just waiting for the oh shit moment, like oh shit.
Yeah, and you know, those just don't really come.
I'm hoping this is setting up for that oh shit moment. Or hopefully at 8. It's got to be at 10 or before. If we get a 10 and we're still doing this whole, oh, I don't know, and
maybe
and,
I will, maybe I won't.
And,
yeah,
and you know, what's with these other people making this other ash?
And maybe the oh shit moment was the, you know, the other people are making the ash, and instead of just seeing stuff, you transform into awful things, and
you turn into a mutant. Tinder watching globs.
Yeah. Like I say, still on board, but I feel like there's kind of keystone issues where, like Old Man Hawkeye.
Yeah, it was like 7.
7. Boom.
Logan.
Like, oh!
Old Man Logan. 7.
Yeah. And I don't feel like any of his books have that. Here's the moment where you're like, oh, crap, that just happened. I mean, Magic Order, it was almost like every other issue. There was
Yeah.
And it doesn't make it bad. It's just it's a different type of storytelling.
For sure. But yeah, I mean, I wrote down, you know, it's just it has a hopefully this is just a lull between major points. And every issue can't
be But think about it. I mean, banger, what have been the major points in this?
In this issue or this series?
This series.
Well, you found out in the second issue that the ash is not just a drug, but you're actually
human remains
reliving the people's experiences. That's kind of a major thing.
Okay.
The second major thing is you learn that if you do enough of it, you you kind of lose your grip on reality and you can believe that the person is still alive, like the mother.
Mom. One of the kids gets killed, but it doesn't feel like anything is so like, oh my God, that just happened.
Like everything will be changed forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's say it's like an oh shit moment. Oh my God. Okay. This is just a break in the action. Cause I'm pretty sure it's in the back of that comic. They're bringing Lazarus back and they're doing 4 quarterly issues.
Didn't Jesus already do that?
Hilarious.
Sorry.
They're doing 4 quarterly issues. Is it? I think it's one more. Nope, it's not that one. It's one of the books that came out this week. I can't remember. But anyway, they're bringing Lazarus back. And that, because we had read, we had both read that, so.
Okay.
Anyway. Okay. Well, then it's going to take us out of the compares and into the shares. Not every retire wants.
I got a quick one. James Bond Origin number 6. This is kind of a standalone spy story that I'm not going to get into because it's going to be a dare.
Oh.
But I just want to mention the new arc starts with number 7, and it's called The Russian Ruse. But I was also wanting to talk about Wonder Woman because it's severely confusing. Well, so I guess
that's probably because that's Heroes in Crisis.
That's why it's confusing. Okay. So, in 64, Veronica Kale.
Who?
Veronica Kale is like a bad guy, bad girl.
She's salad oriented.
Ooh, she's a bad girl, is she?
So apparently her daughter, like Wonder Woman took her daughter to Themyscira to keep her safe. And then with everything that happened that I talked about before with everything being gone and there's gods on Earth, like they don't know where her daughter is. So she has this huge grudge against Wonder Woman now.
The daughter?
The Veronica Kale. Okay. The daughter, we don't know where the daughter is.
I'm trying to follow you. I promise.
So, okay. So at the end of the 63, you see something like Veronica Kale had some god like locked up in a closet, and you find out it's Nemesis, which is the god of grudges.
Hang on.
But in another DC comic, which is why I have Heroes in Crisis sitting here, on the last panel where it has some interviews, you have Nemesis, which is a dude. So apparently there's two characters named Nemesis in DC. Which is odd to me.
Interesting. That's very interesting.
So Veronica Kale has Nemesis make this huge crater. Wonder Woman goes and fights. And Veronica Kale shows up with a news crew saying, how do we know that you didn't just attack her? So she sues her because she's under Veronica Kale's employ. And then come to find out, Nemesis was controlling Veronica Kale.
The whole time.
And so Veronica Kale halts the suit as long as Wonder Woman can find her daughter, since they don't know where she went when everything happened. And Aphrodite summons an invisible, like, peacock.
Oh,
goose looking thing to go with her because she can't fly.
Nemesis is the name of two fictional characters in the DCU. Thomas Andrew Tesser first appeared in Brave and the Bold 166, and then Sosef Marcos, who appeared in JSA Annual, and I guess that's the chick.
Interesting.
She has this creepy fucking spider leg thing. She's fighting Wonder Woman.
Spider leg.
Which magically went away.
That's a great cover, by the way. I mean, it really is.
Let's see. Oh, and then this. So have you guys all seen Anchorman?
Yes.
There's a point. I can't remember where in the movie. He says, by the beard of Zeus. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
So she walks in to find Nemesis' lair, and she says, "Hera's womb."
Wow.
Oh, actually, it's in the other issue. It's over there. But she had, like, think of, like, a minotaur, but instead of a horse body is, like, this big-ass creepy spider. Yeah.
So the stalk from Saga.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, dude, I would buy that book just for the cover alone. That is a great Wonder Woman.
I think both the covers are pretty good.
Yeah, that one's great too. And again, DC is just doing a fantastic job with their variant covers.
I think that's Artigem. It almost has to be. It looks just such...
Do you want me to go, or are you still...
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I just have one this week. It's the Extremist number one. It's just continuing in that Age of X-Men universe. They're kind of the cops that keep everyone in line in this universe. So, yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to distract you.
Oh, sorry.
I've just got one, Bloodshot Rising Spirit number four. And the art is decent. The story is just pretty much just action. I mean, it's kind of like Nanobites or Punisher.
Yeah.
I mean, he's an almost indestructible hero, so it's kind of hard to be like, what do you do with him? I'll give it another issue to just wow me. Hopefully that seminal moment will show up, but... It's certainly readable, kind of like last issue where we talked about Your Dare.
Yeah, because you dared me number one. Yeah,
it surprisingly readable, but not. I just don't get what all the fuss is about. Maybe
after you learned that he pretty much gets tricked into Operation Bloodshot.
Yeah,
and then you know he gets hooked up to all this shit and pumped full of nanites or whatever, and then they basically turn him into a killer. You're like, okay, I kind of feel bad for the guy, you know, and you're like, okay, I kind of want to see where this is going to go. And so I was like, it's definitely readable.
Yeah. But it kind of reminds me of Cemetery Beach where you're like, all right,
we've been in a chase scene.
One long chase scene. So definitely readable, but just not hasn't wowed me yet. I'm still looking for that.
So do you think that that's because it's on a non-major title, or do you think it's just because?
No, because I read a lot of non-major titles, and usually it wows me.
That's true. Yeah.
But that's kind of Valiant's flagship.
Shares at all?
I do not have any shares this week. I did not pick up any new books. You also have a fantastic Alex Ross cover.
Oh, yes, sir.
To talk about of Captain America.
And Logan is still reading that as well.
Captain America. I didn't read, I think it was Secret Empires, where he took over.
Which started so strong.
Was he a clone?
It's hard to explain, but the real Captain America was off on this other plane of existence.
Okay. So you have somebody who looks like Steve Rogers, but with a Hydra tattoo on his chest.
Yeah. So he's been in prison since the end of.
So Secret the original, Empire. When Captain America relaunched after Civil War II.
Mm hmm.
He was corrupted by the soul of the Tesseract.
So I was trying to get I haven't gotten them all, so I haven't read it yet, but I didn't know, I didn't know exactly what was going on. I know people thought it was Captain America. It may have been, or it may not have been, but it seems like in this, there's two different, quote-unquote, Steve Rogers.
There is.
Yeah. Okay.
There was, I don't know. But, one of them gets corrupted by the Tesseract and becomes... Captain Hydra, which is ridiculous, okay. but
a great premise for a story.
Sure.
So Alexa gets him out of jail. She talks about paying for a presidential pardon, so he's pardoned now. The real Captain America is in Von Strucker's prison because when Ross was murdered, he turned himself in when they couldn't find any leads. Thought it was odd, all the bad guys in there were mad at him, but not necessarily for being Captain America, but for taking over the country. And he kept saying it wasn't me. And then
if I remember correctly, that was the whole plan. Is they used the soul of the Tesseract, which is not the Space Stone. To corrupt Steve Rogers so that people would believe he's an agent of Hydra and they would no longer believe in Captain America. I believe that was the original goal when it started back over. So, like I said, I stopped reading it because it got just a little out there for me. But it's different than that series you're on there.
And you know, they, he, like in jail, they, they're saying, hey, like people were trying to talk to him and he's kept ignoring them. And he says something about the rules don't change just because I'm in here. And that's when they brought up all the people who died when he was a Supreme Commander.
Yeah.
And then, so the Daughters of Liberty, this came out on the last issue. I don't know. They brought somebody back, I guess. But earlier, since we were talking about Daredevil earlier, Sharon was talking to Kingpin. And she says, hey, everything that happens in this town, you know about. I know you know that Steve is innocent. And he gives her a little USB drive, which points
to... he beat me to it.
Which points to the foreigner. And so that's their next lead on who actually killed Ross instead of Captain America, Steve Rogers.
Interesting.
Cool. I know Logan is really digging that book, too.
Yeah. Which is good.
So I've got The Ghost Fleet, another Don and Cates book. He does love him a twist at the end. I love the Firefly reference. Not near as emotionally charged as God Country, but an adrenaline rush. It was like Snake Plissken...
Escape from New York.
Gay Snake Plissken. it was fantastic. Page-turning mayhem.
At Kurt Russell. Hey, what about a gay Snake Plissken?
Yeah, great book.
That's cool. And that's going to take us out of the shares and into the dares.
Felt like that was a dare?
Or did That's I just why already... we oh. were questioning it.
I just wanted to join in, guys.
You're just letting her roll.
One book.
It is... No, but you have Descender to talk about as well.
I was glad you're not giving away too much, though.
No, because I imagine it's going to go. Yeah,
it's going. So.
Oh, it's going.
But I'm glad. But, I mean,
it's two completely different books. I mean, one, I'm like just rolling a tear at the end. And the other, I'm like, that's awesome. Just mayhem and blowing stuff up. And
then the other series that he has going, because this is all, it's all Donny Cates. I mean, you're reading Redneck that he's doing, which is just a vampires in Texas that run a barbecue joint.
Yeah, I had two or three trade paperbacks, and I've been trying to keep an eye out for more, but haven't seen any.
I think Volume 3 is out now. I haven't read it yet.
I liked it.
Cool.
So. He can do a wide range of
absolutely and stories just for really sure. Good writing,
which I think is indicative of a good writer. Is that you're not just I can only write superhero stories. I can write horror or whatever, you know.
Ooh, a new beer.
Oh yeah. So what is that new beer?
New beer is Dogfish Head 61,
and that's
it's a marriage of fruity complexity and pungent hoppiness. This is our continually hopped IPA brewed with Syrah grape must.
Syrah.
Those looks Brian was having was cracking me up.
I was just like, isn't that a dare?
I don't know if you saw.
Oh, no, I did.
I wrote it. Something like, what I do?
Isn't that a dare? It's okay.
So
into the dare section.
Well played.
Oh, wow.
I don't have any to talk about. I have something to give out, but I don't know if we're doing that yet.
You don't have any to talk about then?
No. Okay.
But we have one more to talk about.
So Descender took me a little bit to get into just because, man, everything just was going wrong. And you struggle with that a bit. But the kid, air quotes, because he's a companion robot.
Yeah. Which sounds
Yeah, sounds dirtier. Way dirtier than it is. Yeah. drawn so cute that you just have to, and he's got his little robot dog with him. Yeah, it's just like, why are all these bad things happening to this kid? And man, they're not afraid to get just brutal too, because all right, let's back up. So the robots don't really rebel, but the harvesters, in that the mm-hmm. bad robots that come in, and they just start wiping out civilization.
Yeah.
So then the humans are like, okay, well, all robots are bad. So they just start killing off all the robots. This companion robot was in cryo sleep for like 10 years.
10 years, yep.
Yeah. Off on some mining planet, and they discovered that the same artificial intelligence from the harvesters are directly linked to these TIM robots.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the scientist that invented the TIM robots, who's, you know, was at one point like highly esteemed and now just like king of the shitheads because everybody blames him for the robot apocalypse. They go out to find the TIM robot to try to figure out if the harvesters attack next, what can we do to stop it? Scavengers jump in, find the message, attack the TIM robot, and then Driller Killer shows up, which is, but just...
We can't forget about Captain Tesla.
Yeah, Tesla. Not Tesla.
Tesla.
She corrects him several times.
It cannot be Tesla.
Yeah. Really enjoyable book. Like, I want to read the rest of it.
So what is your thoughts on the art? Because that was where I thought you'd have the biggest issue.
Didn't.
That's so weird.
I know, but I think it was pretty well done. I already passed it back to you. I don't know if it's easily at hand, but the kid is drawn so cute.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's part of the charm is you, a kid, again, robot.
Still. Yeah, I think it's Dustin Nguyen.
But it's stylized, and it's not bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm down with, okay, I see what you're doing there. It's not Alex Ross art, but not everything has to be.
So I have the complete edition of it, which I need to pass on to you guys pretty quickly because
Ascender's coming out.
Yeah, comes April. Out. Yeah.
Because that's where I'm at. Like, I want to read the next, but I've only read this much of it, and I enjoyed the crap out of it.
So I had read it a long time ago because I had the trade paperback from a while ago. So I read issue one again, and, you know, being reintroduced to it, yeah, it just makes me want to reread that volume and then just keep on reading it.
Because it's a page-turner.
It really is.
I mean, I don't know what better compliment to give to a book than I want to read more of this.
Well, yeah, because in the first issue, you know, he's all like happy to find the dog. And then he's like, well, let's go check.
Where's mom? And yeah. I forget what his companion kid's name was. Like, it started with an A, maybe?
I don't remember.
Adam or...
I can't remember. Yeah.
But and then he's like, let's go to the harbor and check to see if there's any ships. And he's like, oh, there's one ship left and it just landed. And then the next page and it's so shit.
Oh, scavengers. Oh, bad times.
And he's like, yeah, you better run or some shit. Like, I don't know what the guy says. But, you know, it's like all that makes you want to do is keep going.
It's like an old-fashioned serial where, you know, a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I kind of feel like Saga was that way.
Yeah. To where I got to turn the page. I got to get the next. Yeah.
Well, I mean, when you're talking about shitting, you know, you're just going to keep.
Anyway. He's still hung up on the first panel of the first book.
It's really good.
Yeah. So, yeah, great dare.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think we're going to hand out dares now.
Yes. Mine's pretty easy. Brian Mitchell, you are getting Donnie Cates' run on Thanos that Mr. Mann attempted to describe as best as he could, because it is a... I will remind you that there is an annual at the back
which
that
you
can skip.
Okay.
It's not good. But the rest of it is very good. Mr. Mann, you are getting... Ghost Fleet, the whole goddamn thing.
Yes.
It's, I think says that bears it right mentioning. There. Yeah. Yeah, it says right there, the whole goddamn thing. And then, Mike, you're going to be introduced nice. Into the Coheed
the comic. The Coheed-verse.
So you're getting Amory Wars, the second stage, Turbine Blade, Volume 1.
I can't wait.
See what you think of
that. You should probably play the music while you're reading it.
Probably should, yeah.
Yeah. So, a long time ago.
In a galaxy far, far, far away.
04, maybe? Ish?
That wasn't that far ago.
Eric burnt one of their CDs for me.
Oh, okay.
And that's like the only thing I know about Coheed and Cambria. But
secrets, yeah.
Is this book going to be good since I don't listen to music?
Dude, sometimes
it's
when Eric gives you a CD, you end up with a tattoo.
It's like that kid's book. If you give a mouse a cookie.
So you do not need to listen to the music to be to have that be an enjoyment.
Because I feel like I remember you guys talking about it, and there was like song references throughout.
There is, but. Even if you don't know the songs, knowing the songs
adds to it.
It's not going to take away.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Like after you read it and then you listen to, if you went and listened to the Second Stage Turbine CD, you would hear a lot of the
theoretically
references.
It would make sense. More sense.
Like you'd the song, recognize some names and
or like
such
the album would make
there.
More sense after reading.
Yeah, because they're all kind of concept albums,
except 8 or 7. Color Before the Sun.
Yeah,
it's not a concept
album, which we will not speak of. You got spirit, kid.
Anyway.
All right.
Okay, so this is gonna be a little weird. I don't have 2 copies of this, but I would like you both to read this. So I don't know who wants it first. Okay.
I'll take it first.
Nobody raised their hand at once.
Well, because it felt dirty when you said who has to take it first. Just the tip. Just the tip.
Just one issue.
You're going to get the sloppy seconds. I got it first.
But I ain't got a stretch for that one.
Unintended consequences.
Well, Eric? Bloodshot is not the only comic that Valiant puts out. I think you'll enjoy that.
Okay.
It's cool. Lost Eagles of Rome.
I think you'll enjoy it as well.
All right. Give it a shot.
Mr. Man? No, my next.
No.
I'm last.
I think you'll enjoy this.
What is that?
It's the Punisher.
Max series?
Yeah.
Oh, Last Platoon. Platoon. Yeah.
I thought it was it kind of reminded me of Band
it's,
of Brothers.
It's Garth Ennis, right?
After yeah. hearing you guys talk about it, I almost picked it up, but I think I looked once and didn't see an issue, so I kind of like dismissed it.
The art's not great, but it kind of gives you more of a back history of Frank Castle, and I don't know, it felt like Band of Brothers where the guys are describing the battles and stuff, and it's like all his war buddies getting together and talking about Frank Castle.
Yeah.
Mr. Man, I challenged Eric with this once, and it's a tome, so you don't have to read the whole thing if it doesn't agree with you, sir. It's Grant Morrison, The Filth.
You snuck the Dark Arc in the back there?
Oh, sorry.
I was not quite that many.
Yeah. I was trying to decide what to challenge people with.
Okay. It's like, you snuck
it
the Dark Arc.
It felt a little heavy when I handed, because it should just be 12 issues, I believe.
13.
Okay. I'm lucky.
Okay, so Eric Mitchell, Farmhand.
Okay.
Farmhand. Foghorn Leghorn.
Mr. Mitchell, James Bond origin.
Awesome.
So, why is there a story when it comes to me? You just give him his, and it's like, so.
I think I've read this one.
So, I already knew I was going to bring James Bond because you'd mentioned it before.
I like James Bond too.
Apparently not enough.
I was going to bring 30 Days a Night, the first one.
I can make another medallion.
But since you didn't read the second one, I brought Hungry Ghosts, which Eric already read.
Does that say Anthony Bourdain?
It is. Yes. Yeah.
What? Like the real Anthony Bourdain?
Yes.
Like the dead Anthony Bourdain?
Yes.
I talked about these on a podcast at one point because Mike had given them to me. Over the summer.
Okay.
I read them while we were on vacation.
Okay.
Brian, I will give you the choice. If you don't want to read The Filth,
Altered State,
you can do Dark Arc 1 through 5.
No. We'll save that for another time.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Next beer is Funkworks Raspberry Provincial Sour Ale brewed with raspberries.
This is the award winner, isn't it? This is the...
Yes.
Yes. Mm. Oh, look at that color. So, we didn't really do a good job of telling our audience about the Dogfish Head 61. What do we think about that? Very grapey.
It's interesting. Mm-hmm. It's
another one of those that kind of borders on a wine taste.
Yeah.
What's their other one that's...
Mixed Media.
Mixed Media. Yeah.
Which I enjoyed. It's just... You're getting really close to the line.
It's less IPA and more Syrah.
It's more like a... Syrah's a type of wine.
That's why I said less IPA. It's made with Syrah must, I believe.
It almost feels like a framboise, like a fruit beer.
Except it's not sweet, but I understand that doesn't necessarily...
And this new one you said is what?
Funkworks.
Funkworks. What a name for a beer company.
So we haven't said it, but we've officially entered into...
Oh, well, no, I was getting ready to do that.
Oh, my bad.
I'm the only one that can jump between...
Apparently, I'm jumping the gun.
My bad.
I think we might have actually had this on the pod once before.
I think we've had a Funkworks, but I don't know. Have we had that specific one?
Maybe not. It might not be.
That's yummy. Mm. It's dry.
But we are now officially out of the dare and into the impaired section. And I hear you have a game for
Would
us.
Would you like to play a game? Number 1 through 8.
Number 1 through 8. Now, are there punishments for losing?
No, just bragging rights. I wasn't cool enough to bring gifts.
There's not a medallion that people get to wear for winning.
No, that's for not drinking your punishment beer.
Worst 2 hours of my life. Looking like Flava Flav.
Flava Flav.
It looked good on you, sir.
I'm sure it didn't.
All right, so Jeff, after listening to my buddy Jeff, one of our previous podcasts, realized that we had kind of a geography problem.
Well, and also let's be honest, Jeff was with us for our deep dive into Watchmen.
Yes,
so he has been on the podcast before, so.
So he sent me a DCU geography quiz.
Uh-huh.
So, over the years, Flash's central city has been located in which two of these three states?
Who the shit is going to know this?
Missouri, Colorado, or Ohio?
Wait.
A, B, or C?
It's not even close to where it is in the show. What were the choices again? Missouri, Colorado, and Ohio?
Yes, sir.
And we're just putting a letter down?
Mm-hmm. You just said one of the two? One of the
three? I'm sorry. In which two of these three states?
Oh.
So you have to... Okay, so you have to pick two.
Two.
Okay. Number two.
Gotham City is currently located in which state? A, New York, B, New Jersey, C, Illinois, or D, Pennsylvania?
Or C, Gotham.
that's a city, not a state, but okay.
Pretty sure New York is a city and a state.
So, Green Arrow's Star City has been placed in at least 5 states over the years. Which of the following was not a location of Star City?
What is this shit?
Massachusetts, A. B. Connecticut. C. Washington. D. California. E. Michigan. Or F. Oregon.
Say one more time.
Green Arrow's Star City has been placed in at least 5 states over the years. Which of the following was not a location of Star City? A. Massachusetts. B. Connecticut. C. Washington. D. California. E. Michigan. Or F. Oregon. Number 4. Metropolis has also been in multiple states. Which of the following has not been a location for Metropolis? A. Delaware. B. New York. C. Kansas. D. Maryland. Number 5. Gateway City was once the fictional home of Wonder Woman and the Spectre. Where is it located? A. California. B. Illinois. Or C. Missouri.
Dude, you keep saying Missouri and Kansas in there, so I feel like one of these has got to be that.
I was getting ready to be sarcastic, and, yeah. And I forgot that I didn't get to just write in my answer there. I was totally getting ready to say, up your ass.
See, I was thinking, choice you.
Gives a shit. Number 6, DC heroes Starman, Elongated Man, and Phantom Lady hail from what fictional city?
The Island of Misfit Toys?
A. Midway City. B. Opal City.
Oh, okay.
C. Fawcett City.
That's not a real fucking place.
Or D. Bloodhaven.
Guess Bloodhaven's real. It's actually in the comic books. I don't know that Fawcett City sounds like that city from the robots.
Oh, I can't wait for that to be the right one. I cannot wait for that to be the right one. Number 7. DC's Captain Marvel. DC's, not Marvel's. Marvel.
Yeah.
Shazam.
Yeah.
Is based in which city? A. Midway City. Did I just do that one?
B.
No, you didn't just do that one.
Did you screw it up?
No, the one before is Elongated Man.
And Kite Man and the other one. We're on 8. 7. We're on 7.
7. Okay. I feel like those are the same. Midway City, Opal City, Fawcett City, or Bloodhaven.
That was 6.
Yeah, same thing.
They're the same responses. You get to choose from the same responses as 7 and 6. He gave us the same responses available in 6 as he's giving in 7, but they're two different characters.
I feel like you're fucking something up.
I mean, anyway.
Number 8. Hawkman, Hawkgirl, and Doom Patrol are all based in which city? It's the same ones. Yeah.
It's open-ended? Or it's the same ones?
Midway City, Opal City, Fawcett City, or Bloodhaven.
All right. Is there a tiebreaker?
Negative, Ghost Rider. Pattern is full.
Pray to God nobody tiebreaks.
Nobody ties?
Oh, yeah, whatever.
Okay. So, answers. Number 1. A. Missouri is the current location in comics and the TV show.
For what?
For number 1.
For Star City?
Over the years, Flash's central city has been located in 2 of these 3 states.
I'm almost 100% sure in the television show it's not in Missouri.
D. Ohio was the original location of Central City, Flash 228, 1974. B is the wrong one. Not location of Central City.
Wait, it's A and what else?
A and E.
D.
God damn it. I must have, because I wrote Ohio, but I put down C.
Oh, okay.
You're right. It's C.
Okay.
Or D.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I had A and C.
Okay.
Okay. Two.
Gotham City is currently located in which state?
New York.
B, A. New Jersey.
What?
I don't believe you.
That's wrong.
All right, number three. Green Arrow Star City has been placed in at least five states over the years. Which of the following was not a location of Star City?
E.
B.
B.
F. Oregon. Not a location for Star City.
Okay.
Number four.
A.
Yes.
A. A is his answer.
Metropolis has been in multiple states. Which of the following has not been a location for Metropolis?
C.
D. Maryland.
What the?
Wait, which one is this?
Number four, right?
Yeah, four.
Oh.
Four was C. I put C.
I put C.
I put A.
Delaware, current location, also Atlas of the DC Universe. B, New York, cited as location for the Death of Superman comic. C, Kansas, location for the Smallville TV show. D, Maryland was never a location.
Four was not A, correct?
Correct.
I didn't know that we were talking about every DC interpretation ever. I thought we were just talking about DC Comics. I wasn't under the impression that we were having to take into account every single TV show and every... Okay, anyway. Five.
Gateway City was once the fictional home for Wonder Woman and the Spectre. Where is it located?
A.
B.
A.
A. California. Number six. DC heroes Starman, Elongated Man, and Phantom Lady hail from what fictional city?
D.
B.
A.
B. Global City.
Yeah, dude, I got one right.
DC's Captain Marvel is based in which city?
A.
C. Fossil City.
Fuck.
I feel like that's the one that's a fake one that no one would ever guess.
Technically, they're all fake because they're all made up, but whatever.
Hawkman, Hawkgirl, and Doom Patrol are all based in which city?
B.
D.
A. Midway City.
God damn. I only got two right.
So okay. I think this points out we don't know what the fuck we're talking about where it comes to geography for the DCU.
Well,
I really thought Star City was Seattle.
Number five, yeah.
Star City is Seattle.
It is right now. It totally is.
And Central City is 100% San Francisco.
On number five, I completely guessed on Wonder Woman because she has a house on the beach.
It's certainly not going to be Illinois or Missouri with that beachfront property.
So I got two right.
I got two right.
I got one right. So I'm the loser.
You're both winners. Brian gets to wear the medallion again.
Yay.
At least it's not the entire podcast this time.
Sure. I'm still not wearing it. Anyway.
What a dick.
I'm going to have to just make one medallion of shame for the games.
I had no idea that we had to take into account everything. I thought you were just talking about specifically in the comics, unless you said TV shows.
DCU would...
No. If you say the MCU, what are you talking about? Marvel Cinematic Universe. If you take DCU, that's only TV shows and movies. That's not comic books.
It was so DC Universe compared to Marvel Cinema Universe.
Or Marvel Comics Universe? I mean, the C could mean whatever we... It doesn't matter. Anyway, speaking of Marvel Comics... Anyway. Speaking in the impaired section, we played the game. A couple of days ago, there was an article that came out. It said that now that Disney officially owns Marvel, they're going to...
I mean, now? Is this a new development? I thought that's been a minute ago.
I think, regardless, that they're going to phase out Marvel Comics. Turns out, this article is completely false. All right, you're done. Shocking. God, just get over it. So, I don't really...
Hey, the things on the internet are not real?
Okay. This entire podcast is on the internet. Must not be real.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Anyway.
It's a simulation.
Yeah.
True.
We're in Sanctuary.
So now that it's not real, and I don't care. So, but what if it was real? What do you guys think that the world would be like without Marvel Comics? Not necessarily just Marvel movies, but no more comic books for Marvel ever. What does the world look like for that?
Less money grabs?
I think that's just... you're easily led automaton if you believe that they're going to shut Marvel Comics down, number one.
I didn't believe it. I'm just...
No, I'm not saying you did, but I know there was outrage on the interwebs over it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's just...
But even with, like, I'm sure they had a rise in sales just from Stan Lee dying.
I think somebody else would take it. I mean, I think somebody else would find a way to start writing.
Well, absolutely. I mean, we've seen...
Again, using those characters.
What was that? The comic that we read that, like, issue one was decent and then it kind of went downhill from there, where they took public domain characters and...
Project Superhero.
Yeah. I mean, I think something like that would happen. You're right. You're not going to let Spider-Man just go by the wayside, or the X-Men, or Wolverine, or... I think it's too hot of a commodity to just be like, okay, we're done.
Yeah, I can't imagine a world where it's just done with. Like, suddenly there's just, you go to a comic book store and it's like, oh yeah, there's no more Marvel books. It seems like if any of them going to go, it's not going to be Marvel. Because, I mean...
No,
it would
not
be
totally.
One of the lesser
no,
I mean, ones. It'd be like a Dark
you
Horse.
You can see
or
some
a,
of the things being cut out.
Sure.
But there's some that... that are just going to continue. Yeah. Spider-Man is not going away.
Yeah. Speaking of, somebody still needs to see Homecoming.
I'm good, man. It's good.
Good. Hey.
Now, I mean,
Into the Spider-Verse is on digital now.
I'm also
so
good.
Anybody else? No, you are.
It is
no,
such a good
gonna,
movie.
I don't give a shit.
I'm gonna, dude. I will agree to disagree, and I will get the what was the Spider-Man where he ages through time, dude. That sounds interesting.
You told me at one point you would watch Into the Spider-Verse.
I might have lied.
There's probably beer involved.
See, I was gonna suggest that he do something funny, which is actually watch Into the Spider-Verse, and then still hold strong on Homecoming.
I feel like it's going to be one of those Clockwork Orange moments where my eyes are held open and eye drops are put in.
Or you
I've
can
considered
do,
tying you to a chair.
How many times has your son gone and seen
Twice.
Into the Spider-Verse?
And he doesn't even like movies.
Or you could do like a Mystery Science Theater 3000 and just and watch it and talk shit about it the whole time. As long as you're watching it.
So I haven't seen it yet, but from
what for fuck's sake, do not pontificate like, oh, you're going to have to watch it. I haven't seen it yet.
I wasn't pontificating.
I feel like you were a little.
I was saying
it's going to tie you down to a chair and make you watch it.
That was Homecoming.
Okay.
Which yeah, I have seen.
I was Solo.
I bought it.
It was great after I saw it.
I bought it as soon as it was released on Tuesday and
did you watch
immediately
it?
Started watching it. Yes.
I hear it's like watching a comic book.
Yes.
It is.
Yeah.
It like is. It's got the it pows is. And the zaps and
Well there's a I can't remember if it's a whole movie, but I know there's quite a few scenes where like as you're watching it looks like it's a comic book.
Yeah.
Like you can almost envision yourself flipping pages.
That's pretty cool. Anyway. I mean, we were talking about the fall of Marvel Comics, and then suddenly we got into a bitch fest about End of the Spider-Verse.
Because somebody used that as an example, and he's not watching the movies.
It won Academy Award for Best Animated Film.
Yeah. Fuck, then. I better watch it. So a bunch of Riri McGee's sit around and vote on something, and I've got to watch it?
If it said Hugo Award winning, Eisner Award winning, you'd be more tempted to read it than if it didn't. So it's just a bunch of retards sitting around voting on stuff.
Not really.
I don't know that I've ever picked up a comic and said, hang on, was this an Eisner Award winning comic? Oh, well then, shit, I better, somebody else liked it. I better dig it.
Mr. Miracle.
Okay, but I picked that up before there was a single award attached to it.
I know, but now that it is attached, it's, everybody else knows it too. Right?
Oh, okay.
Well, like you guys were saying, is it, okay.
I'm just trying to draw a line between somebody else with an Academy or an Eisner or liked it, so then I have to like it?
No, not that you have to like it, but
is you should watch it and form your own opinion whether you like it or not.
Sure, but just
I'm not pretty sure I already know I'm not going to like it.
Okay.
It's okay. It's not my jam.
Okay. It's not your jam.
Dude, fuck, you didn't like Mr. Miracle, and it's an Eisner Award winning. Should you go back and reread it now?
I've only read the first issue. I haven't read the rest of them.
But you're going to now that it's Eisner Award winning, right?
No.
Okay.
I'm just going to wait for somebody to dare it to me.
So we should dare
the
movie.
Figure out the argument then, sir. It's Eisner Award winning. You should read it. Well, then you should have read it.
Okay, maybe that's my fault.
Or it's just an award that somebody gave it.
Okay, I feel like we've gone off the rails here.
So the Chiefs are reporting that Eric Berry went through a...
Wasn't he doing like some kind of sonic treatment on...
I don't know. So it was Haglum's deformity, I think. It's basically like a big bone spur.
Which like, are on his Achilles, right?
Like right next to it.
Which are yeah, awful.
I think on his heel. So he went through, like the team doctor said he didn't need surgery. He went through and got a second opinion, and they say the same thing. So
did he get a third opinion?
No.
Oh.
I'm curious if they think that. So it's digging into something, causing him pain. So the doctors must think that surgery may or may not even help, and then he still has his skin cut open, which could cause its own.
Yeah, because it's going to take him out of
right.
Yeah, out of. Man, I don't know. We kept him on the roster all year instead of just putting him on IR with a hey, you could come back later.
Do you think he's going to trade him?
Who's going to want him?
I think they're going to cut him after June deadline.
I don't think they. I think they can only trade
less of a cap hit,
right? But
I think you can let him go.
Well, I'm sure his contract still has some guaranteed money.
Sure, you should.
So they would get more value if they were able to trade him instead of just cutting him.
The problem is he hasn't played a full season in 3 years. Are we sure he's even good anymore? Like, I mean, he's better than anybody on our secondary, but that isn't really saying that much.
This is why I would not make a good owner, because I would want to keep him, but I also would have wanted to keep Derek Johnson. I would have wanted to keep Jamal Charles.
Yeah. At some point, though, I mean, and this year, I know it's crazy talk, but I was like, he's doing a better job coaching the defense
right.
than the defensive coordinator.
And that was rolling into a coach role. That was my argument with Derek Johnson because – I talked about it sometime. I can't remember if it was on a podcast or if it was somewhere else, but I think it would have been more beneficial to keep Derek Johnson, like see if he would have taken a team-friendly deal and made him like four-string linebacker, and he would be like a player/coach. Like he'd be coaching up the linebackers, and if everybody got fucking hurt, he can jump in there for depth, or
go in situationally right. as a – yeah.
I think they could do something like that with Eric Berry, but I don't know if they will. I mean, you could visibly see the defense do better when he was on the field. Plus, like you said, he was directing people into the right spot.
Yeah, the tough thing is when you're paying your quarterback, what is it, $200 million?
Oh, they're paying him like $435,000.
Yeah, they're still on the rookie deal. They're not. They haven't redone his contract yet.
They legally can't until the last year of his contract starts, which is
next year.
Which is next year.
After next season.
Yeah, but.
But then you run into, I mean, you said they franchise tag D Ford. Mm-hmm. What do you do with Justin Houston?
You trade him.
See, that's another thing.
Like, I mean, I hate that because he's a good player. He's right. Still a good player, and I think.
But so is Tom Bahali, and they let him go.
But they're stronger when you've got D Ford and Justin Houston.
But with the new 4-3, Justin Houston would have moved up. The best place for him would have been on the line as a lineman. Yeah.
And he doesn't really like playing down, I don't think.
He may not, but I think he has a strength to pull it off.
Sure.
He's a big
man. But he can also just go to somebody's 3-4 defense and be a monster.
Yeah.
I don't understand how people think. They're like, oh, well, you know, we need all these things. I was like, listen. In a year and a half, you're going to have to sign Patrick Mahomes to a 7 to 9 year deal worth over $200 million.
So here's a new conversation since you brought up Showtime Mahomes.
I hate that nickname.
So Tom Brady always takes team friendly deals, and that's why the Patriots are always good year after year.
That's one of the reasons.
So this whole or the past season, he always seemed to put the team first, Patrick Mahomes. So I'm curious, what do you guys think? From what you've seen from his demeanor, do you think he'd be willing to do the same thing to keep talent on the team to make them contenders for 10 years down the line?
See, I feel like if it were me, if I were in his shoes, man, I'd want to get a payday first.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe not the numbers that's being bantered around, but then as it progresses, then take a more team-friendly approach because you want to secure your future because right. In the NFL, I mean, heck, he could get knocked out next year and be – that's his career. He's done.
I agree.
And I really think that's what Tom Brady did. Like Tom Brady, like 2003
– took the payday first
I think it was like a $140 million deal. And then after that ran out, he's just been taking little deals. After a couple of years of not winning a championship, then renegotiating, adding more years, but lessening the amount of money. And I could see that happening. But, like, some kid who has been getting paid $435,000 for the entire season.
Which, by the way, is still a pretty big number.
But not
by normal people's standards.
Sure, but not for – the league minimum is not –
Yeah, I get you.
You know,
I don't begrudge him a payday at all because he deserves a payday.
But making $20 million a year, I don't know that there's no human being on the planet worth $20 million a year.
Take me to the Super Bowl. He's worth it.
But
Eric has yet to enter into the conversation.
Oh, I would pay him first. He definitely needs to get that first big contract in, and then we can see where it goes from there.
I think it's really going to depend on what happens this year. If we go to the Super Bowl, if we win the Super Bowl, I don't think anybody...
Heck, baby steps, man. Just go to the Super Bowl.
Here's my thing. We had... There's how many teams? There's 32?
There's 32 teams currently.
I think we were ranked 30 or 31 on defense.
30th in defense overall. So
if we were mid-range, if we were 15-ranked defense, we would have went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I believe that. Because offensively, man, just a juggernaut. And the games where they threw something at him he didn't get or...
Yeah,
slow to react to. We still kind of overcame it in the fourth quarter.
Sometimes. But, I mean, then you had the Rams game and the Patriots game twice where you just got out-coached. Maybe not the Rams game. That was kind of a shootout. But both Patriot games,
they were all shootouts.
Well, not really. I mean, there was a couple of games there where we didn't score 30 points.
Not.
Yeah, there was. A couple towards the end of the season. Like, I don't think the Baltimore game we scored 30 points. I think it was like 27 to something. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Regardless, 50 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, statistical best season ever for a Chiefs quarterback.
For almost any quarterback.
The third highest for performing offense ever in the National Football League. Yeah, okay.
And if you think back to the early 2000s with the Dick Vermeil teams, I mean, those were shootout teams. Those were offensive teams.
Yeah, it was way different than Marty Ball, which was
nothing like what we've seen here. Put a just adequate defense in play.
There was a shirt that I want to try and find. It says "Beat Denver Left-Handed." I really need that. Oh, yeah. I really need that T-shirt.
I feel like you could beat Denver at this point.
Blindfolded.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
I think one of the funniest things was I guess he went to Treyarch, people who made the Call of Duty Black Ops, and they had one of these foam axes or whatever, and he's like, turn out the lights at Treyarch, and he no-look pass throws axe.
Yeah, I saw that.
Hits the lights off and just keeps playing the game. And I'm like, dude,
that's pretty awesome.
I don't even know what to say about that. But, I mean, I wondered how many times they had to do that. My guess was one. Like, he looks over at the light switch, picks the axe up, and just tosses it. And it just hits it, and the lights go out. And I'm like, done.
There was done. What's that new thing, the AAF?
Yeah, the All-American Football League or something? The
CBS thing.
Yeah, so there's a quarterback. He was under duress. He was scrambling to his left. And a defender hit him and turned him backwards, and he kind of threw it over his head for a first down. And Mahomes like retweeted it and said, looks like I got to step my game up.
He did the old Statue of Liberty where he holds it up and then throws it behind him or whatever. I don't know. But, I mean, the thing is, I think one of the things that makes – I mean, because it's not just Kansas City who is exploded all in this motherfucker. Like, I think it's just – he's just so exciting to watch because you never know what he's going to do next.
Well, and the Giants have even talked about taking the Kansas City model and, you know, bringing up another hot quarterback behind.
We have a model now.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, dude. That's the exciting thing here. After football is kind of – I feel like we get so close. And then
it's like the Kansas City shuffle.
Yeah, you get – just get your dreams crushed, and
I don't know. I don't know that dreams were crushed though. Like
not this year. No. But in years past,
oh sure.
I mean, I remember the Marty years, and then oh my God, we got Montana. Okay, now we're going. We're going.
This is it.
And we didn't.
That's what's crazy about this past season is like the losses we had. I was never.
You never felt like you were out of the game.
Well, even after the fact, except for like the playoff loss, I was like, fuck. But other than that, like we lost. I'm like, oh, whatever. We'll get them next game. Like there's always hope this season.
But I think it's kind of like what he said is, you know, if you're in a shootout with Tom Brady in the fourth quarter of a football game in Gillette Stadium and it's close, I mean, losing is not as bad as getting blown out.
Right. And – the Chiefs organization, when they started him, they said this is going to be a 2-year rebuild on defense. We still went to the AFC Championship.
We almost won the AFC Championship.
Right. on a shit defense, which they've already said they're going to take 2 years to rebuild.
I don't know that it was. Shit is the wrong word.
I feel like it's.
Ranked 30?
Well, or 31? How much of that was coaching?
An overall defense. But we were third or fourth in scoring defense. First, tied for first in takeaways.
I think just at home, though.
Weren't we at home for the AFC Championship game?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, so 30th overall is an overall statistic. Yeah, we were shit against the run. Like the run, I mean, it was like 6 yards a run we gave up.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's.
But the red
zone. You're not going to do anything.
The red zone defense was a little better.
Sure. You know, because that's Bob Sutton. He plays the bend, don't break. Okay. Well, the problem is,
I felt like I saw that under Vermeil.
The problem is when you get 6 yards of carry and you run it down to the 10-yard line, all I got to do is run it 3 times. And if you're getting 6 yards of carry, then the end zone
it's hard not to break.
Exactly. Yeah. So
Not only that, but that philosophy is stupid to begin with, because if you're bending and not breaking the entire game in the fourth quarter when you really need it, your defense is completely gassed.
Sure. I think the philosophy is I'd give up a 5-yard pass and then give up a 50-yard pass, which is true, and that works in that one instance. But if you're giving up 5-yard passes
over and over again.
60 plays, that's not winning football games.
And you're running more time off the clock. I would argue I'd rather give up the 50-yard pass, go down and let them score, and I'll come right back and score.
That's what the Patriots did to us in Gillette Stadium, and that's why we lost.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, beer for this podcast. My humble opinion, it's either got to be the Trash Panda or the Funk Works.
I have Trash Panda.
I'm going Funk Works.
Funk Works.
Funk Works.
Split decision.
Well, not really. Majority rule.
2-2.
I said Funk Works or Trash Panda. So I like both of them equally.
So you can't make a decision.
I mean, if I had to right now, I'd probably say Funk Works.
Just because
I'm
talking shit.
Maybe. But anyway, that will end it for 37, and we will see you guys in 38.
Hashtag break free.